Hello, my name is Francesca Anastasi, and I am a guest on The Inspiring Show.
Welcome to The Inspiring Show with Paul and Jennifer Hensel, featuring inspiring interviews with thought leaders, storytellers, entrepreneurs, influencers, and legacy builders just like you. Learn from experts about finding your voice, mastering your mindset, and creating movements with your message. Tap into timeless wisdom and today's top strategies for transcending to new levels of success, happiness, and joy.
Welcome, everyone, to The Inspiring Show. My name is Jennifer Hensel, and I'm your host today. My guest with us is Francesca Anastasi, and she is a business growth strategist, consultant, and mentor. She went from homeless to CEO, and she's going to share the tools, principles, and systems she applied as the founder and CEO of Confidence Institute. Francesca is the creator, producer, and host of the Succeed Against All Odds show, and Paul and I have been on that podcast. Check it out, Succeed Against All Odds. She is dedicated to working with and inspiring entrepreneurs of all ages, so we're so thrilled to have her on the show. She also created the Magnificent You Women's Conference and founded the annual global charity event Shimmy Mob, which has helped millions of women around the world, you guys. She received the Telling Our Story Award for that movement. I'm thrilled to be able to call her a friend. We've been supporting each other online and offline for many years now. So I hope you enjoy this interview with Francesca Anastasi. Thank you so much for being with me today, Francesca.
I am so excited to be on your show.
Yay! Even though we don't see each other in person, we see each other pretty much every day.
We do, don't we?
In Instagram. And online.
Yes, it's a new way of connecting these days.
Yes, I enjoy it.
I do too. I do too.
And your content is always so uplifting.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Yes, so I have some questions for you today because I know your story is fascinating. And I'd love my audience to get to know you because you've done so many amazing things to empower yourself, to empower others. And I want people to know your story and all about you and to be able to connect with you. So what was the most significant pivotal moment in your life?
I would say that the most significant and the most pivotal was when I lost everything. And it seems like probably was the darkest time was the most pivotal. I was going through a divorce after a 14-year marriage. And found myself having to look for work and finally found a job that was barely paying the bills because I didn't work when I was married. So it was very challenging to find work in the first place. And then a 9/11 happened when, you know, it was just very, very challenging. But to make a really long story short, I ended up starting my own business. But before I did that, I was living in a basement suite while I was having my first job after I had left the marriage. And while I was away, someone set fire to the place where my daughter and I were living. So we were renting, I was renting a little basement suite where I had moved into with my 9-year-old at the time. And like I said, I had found a job that, you know, it was paying the bills, but because I had legal fees that I was dealing with through the divorce, that, you know, legal bills are not inexpensive. It's quite expensive. So I had really limited budget and I was not paying any house insurance. So when the fire was set to the house, thankfully we were not there. It was a deadly fire. My landlord who lived upstairs died. So that was tragic. Yeah. So we were, you know, we're very lucky not to be there when that happened. But we lost everything we had as far as physical things. The only thing we had with us basically was a suitcase that we happened to have with us. The things were in there while we were visiting friends, for it was over the holidays, the Christmas holidays. And I remember receiving this phone call from a friend, and she said, "Are you sitting down?" So here I am on vacation. And I'm like, no, I'm not sitting down. She's like, you have to sit down for this. And, you know, you hear this is such a cliche, you know, phrase, oh, you have to sit down for this. And I thought, what could it possibly be? I'm already, you know, there's already enough bad things happening to me. And she said, don't bother coming home. Everything's gone. Someone set fire to the house. And I was like, and it was like really surreal. Mm-hmm. And at that point, up to that point, I had this very poor me mindset. And, you know, I always felt sorry for myself. Why does everything bad happen to me? And I don't know what happened, Jennifer, but I just remember holding that phone and, you know, just hearing, you know, that everything was gone and feeling almost like calm. It was a sense of peace and calm. And all of a sudden, it was just like I had this visual in front of me. It was kind of a strange visual where on one side, I could see if I made the decision to go this way, that would be feeling sorry for myself, being the victim, probably ending up in welfare and who knows what other else, like just not a very happy ending. And then on the other side, I saw nothing, just like black, not even white, just black, just a black canvas of not knowing what was behind this black curtain, if you want to call it that. Mm-hmm. And I just pondered there for a second and I thought, okay, I know what this side looks like. It looks very miserable. And I am tired of this. Enough. I don't want to feel like this anymore. And I'm going to go behind this black curtain. I don't know what it looks like, but I'm going to grab this bull by its horn, going to ride it for all I've got. And I'm going to, something good has to come out of this. And that was the most pivotal point for me in life, for my personal mindset. So there were kind of two pivotal points. That was the first one because it really shifted my mindset. And then the other one was when, after I did lose my job, I wasn't finding work after that. Actually, no, after I had the fire, sorry, backtrack here, but after I lost everything in the fire, 10 days later, my company went belly up, the company that I was working for, and they laid me off. So within 10 days, I was homeless and jobless. And I didn't have any financial assistance. It was pretty, pretty tough time. So by the end of my unemployment insurance and I wasn't getting work, I wasn't finding work. I was going to a lot of job interviews. 9/11 happened. This was in 2001. So now even the interview stopped. And I was like, well, what do I do? Unemployment insurance is running out. I was still fighting for child support. I'm like, I have to do something. And so I decided to hire myself and start my own business. And of course, when you start your own business and you have no clue what you're doing, things don't go as you think they're going to go. It was not simple and easy. I enrolled myself into a self-employment program that is subsidized by the government. And so I did everything by the book, all my marketing, worked really, really hard, and decided that I would open a dance studio for adults who had never had the chance to learn dance when they were children. So we had all kinds of dance forms. And I opened my doors, I had my big grand open house, and not one single soul showed up. Mm. So that was a second pivotal moment in my life, but that was for the business side because it made me rethink business, even though I had no, whatever I had learned from the program, I learned that there was a lot more to it than just what I had learned from the textbook. So those were the pivotal moments for me.
Oh, wow. That is really something. I didn't know that part of your story with the fire. That's mm-hmm. incredible.
Yeah. And you know what? The thing is, you know, when I talk about mindset, I mean, my whole life since childhood, I have personally, on top of that, part of that mindset came from a lot of abuse that I received from, you know, from when I was a child, from multiple people, not just one person. Mm-hmm. So it's easy to fall into this trap of not feeling good enough or not worthy or not being smart enough. And not being capable of doing anything. So that pivotal moment for me when it's like, I'm not going to feel sorry for myself, it was huge. It was a big, big shift. It wasn't just a minor shift. For personally, for me, when I look back, I'm like, yeah, that was quite the shift. So, yeah.
Very brave. A brave action.
Well, I only have those two options. either I could continue to feel sorry for myself or I could do something different. And that was when I realized our life is just a matter of our decisions. We choose our life based on what we decide from moment to moment.
Yes. Yes. You know, I didn't realize we also have in common, I was a graduate of the self-employment program also.
Oh, really?
Yes. And okay. I went on to teach in the program for years as well. And I'm still in touch with them.
Nice.
Yeah.
So we have that in common. Cool.
Yeah. We have more in common than we even realized.
Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. So what are some of the challenges you've encountered in your personal and business life? You've told us some of them, but now you went on in your business.
Mm-hmm. In the business side, when, like I said, while I had my big grand open house and nobody showed up, I realized that my marketing, doing it by the book, was not the most effective way. And I did all the things I had seen other people do that don't necessarily work just because other people are doing it. And so I had to really dig deep into the whole marketing side of things. And it made me fall in love with the business aspect, which led me to what I do now and helping other people in business. And I'm not a business coach per se. A lot of people think I am. The coaching is automatic when I work with my clients because I've done a lot of personal development work. I am certified in NLP. So I do have all the qualifications to be a coach. So that is embedded. But my primary focus with my clients is basically guide them in their actual business, not so much on the mindset. And just because that's what was missing for me. And it was like, that was a little, you know, the marketing part or the business, the structure of the business. So the challenge was learning how do I, you know, I ended up with 6 months with no income from that open house till I relaunched it again. So that was probably the biggest business challenge, but it was the best thing ever. And in personal life, I think it was, you know, it's the lingo that happens between our ears, the conversations that happen in our heads. It's easy to talk down on ourselves. We self-abuse. A lot. I think that's very common. And so recently, just in the last several years, I started adopting a new method. I say, you know, we talk a lot about the one negative voice, and I believe we have more than one. At least I have three. And my three voices are, you know, I have the ambitious voice, which is the one that, you know, is the one that whispers to do great things, you know, where those great ideas come and the vision and I can do this and I can do that. And then there's the, you know, the negative one that we all know about. That's the one we tend to focus on. And then we have what I call Mrs. Comfort, the one that just tells me don't do anything. Just relax. You're tired. You work too hard kind of thing. So now what I do is when those voices come in, I call in a committee. I say, okay, let's have a meeting. Let's hear from everyone. And then I will make my decision. And that kind of helps kind of negate anything that is actually pulling you away from what you should be doing. So it puts some humor into it.
I love that.
Yeah. So
that's awesome. I'm going to try that.
Yeah. It's a fun thing to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
what a great idea. Mm-hmm. So then what happened to your business after that? Because I know you've been successful and you've done lots of dancing and teaching and
So I relaunched the studio. So the first when I did the first open house was in April, and then I relaunched in September. And so I went from a completely empty studio to a completely sold out.
Oh, wow.
September, it just totally sold out because now I had figured out the missing link in my marketing. And it just grew, it skyrocketed from there. So I ran the studio successfully for 10 years. It was multiple six figures. Very, 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 very good. But I ended up closing it for personal reasons, for legal reasons, I cannot disclose on, you know, publicly. But a lot of people cried when I closed it and they said, oh, no, this is our second home. And while I was running that, the dance studio, I started training instructors on how to run, you know, their own business, how to be a freelancer. So that was part of, I already loved the business side of things. I was training my own staff to freelance because I couldn't possibly give each member, each teacher a full-time job. It's impossible in the dance, you know, like you need different teachers. So I was helping them in that aspect. And so that was kind of a natural by default when I closed the studio to go in that route. And at the same time, in the tail end of having the studio, I did this one-time event where I said, hey, I called up my competition and I said, let's get together. Let's do flash mobs together for the greater good. And we'll give back to the community. We'll raise funds and donate them to our shelters for victims of abuse. Well, little did I know that that would become an annual thing that is now global. So now we do that once a year around the world in different locations on the same day. So that's pretty much what's happening now.
Oh, that's amazing. I'm going to ask you more about that in a second, but what was the missing link that made your business successful the second time when you opened, relaunched from the first time?
Mm-hmm. The missing link was, even though I had I knew who my target market was, I knew who my avatar was, I knew all of that. What I was missing was, how do I get my information under their nose? How do I get to them? How do I make myself seen? And it has to be all in one shot because I'm brand new in this business and it's not a one-to-one. It's when you have a dance studio, you need lots of people to fill up a class. It's not, you know, I wasn't promoting private lessons. I would not survive with a private lesson. So I started looking at, so as an example, my target market were primarily women that worked, that had a job, that worked really hard, really didn't do anything for themselves other than take care of the kids when they got home. They, you know, prep meals, maybe they didn't have the time, they're just exhausted. And they had missed out on dance when they were younger. So what I did is I started thinking, what does their day look like? And I walked through with my mind, I walked through what they did through the day. And basically, I figured out that by the time they got home at night, closer to when they got paid, so about 2-3 days before paycheck, that they would probably be ordering takeout food or order pizza. Mm-hmm. So what I did is I created brochures that looked like takeout menus. And I geographically looked at the type of homes, the type of income, the demographics. So I studied the actual location. And I mailed out, I maxed out my credit card. I got the brochures printed and I had them mailed with no envelope because I wanted them to think it wasn't food. although it was obvious it wasn't food, but it looked like, you know, the Chinese food takeout menu. Yeah. So that's what I did. And it worked. It was all about timing, knowing exactly when to send it, how far in advance. So I really did my homework. I had 6 months to plan this. So and really mm-hmm. research it. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, the importance of not just knowing who you're marketing to, but how do you get under their nose? Like, how do you get the information? Because I knew that once they knew I existed, that they'd come. I knew that. Mm-hmm. I knew that was it was a no-brainer. I knew they would come, and they did, right? But it was just about, how do I get that information to them? So I was going about it the wrong way at first.
Well, that is so smart. You know, they say the quickest way to someone's heart is through their stomach.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And you know, the other thing that you and I resonate on is community building and really building a community around whatever we want to do. So, and you know, what will help the community in our society. So tell us more then about Shimmy Mob, because it is an amazing community, global community.
Yeah. You know, it's been an interesting journey. This is our 10th anniversary year. So it's been 10 years. And like I said, I didn't know this was going to be an annual thing. I didn't know it was going to be this big. It's big, and at the same time, it's very small. I mean, it's big in the terms as we're pretty spread out. We're in a lot of locations, a lot of countries. But we are pretty small and we're kind of invisible. Actually, I like to think we need a lot more people participating. But the idea is that, you know, we get people who sign up just for the cause, not necessarily because they want to dance. They want to give back. They have their own story. They want to, or they know someone else who has a story. Like, I'll never forget this. The first year that there was a woman who has been participating since. She sent a photo after we had the event, and the photo was with her wearing, because we wear the same shirts with our logo every year. Mm-hmm. So she was wearing her shirt, and she was holding this picture frame of her best friend who had been killed by her husband. Mm. And so domestic violence is, you know, we've been focusing for the last 9 years, we've been focusing on supporting the shelters. You know, we've been raising funds and donating the money to the different shelters wherever the teams have been participating. And as of last year, even though we're still doing that, we're still kind of fundraising, our primary focus has been shifting to the prevention side, mm-hmm. and creating education and informing people, what is it that you need to look for? Not just if you're already in it, because that's something we've already been putting out there all along. Like, these are the signs, these are the signs. If you're experiencing this, get out. But now we're going one step ahead, where we're going, okay, if you're in a situation where you're dating, how do you know if this person could be a potentially abusive person? Because abuse can come across at first and early in the relationship, can look like love. It can look like amazing love. It can look like the perfect love. You know, the showering with gifts, the so much attention, the wanting you all to themselves because they love you so much. But if a person knows what the signs are, and if there is a pattern, so it doesn't mean that any of these things are wrong per se, but when you know what the pattern is and you start seeing these signs, you can recognize if this is heading in the wrong direction, and then you can make an informed decision on mm-hmm. whether you're going to continue with this relationship or not. So that's where we're going, and trying to prevent it from happening in the first place, because the stats are staggering. Like, we have almost 50% of relationships experience some form of abuse.
Wow.
Those are the official statistics. So it's pretty predominant. It's pretty out there. Yeah.
That is shocking.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So now walk me through, if someone wanted to sign up, mm-hmm. they sign up, and then what happens?
Okay. So if you sign up, you have a couple options. You could decide to be a dancer. Mm-hmm. So as a dancer, you sign up and you will have access. You basically create an account on our website, and with your account, then you have access to the tutorials, to the dance that we're going to be dancing, because every year we change the dance. Mm. And then when you get closer to the event, so our event is in May 9th this year. So throughout the month of April, depending on where you are, different teams have different schedules, so we're not all rehearsing at the same time, but we have live rehearsals as well. So if you have trouble learning online, you actually get the opportunity to be with the group that you're going to be dancing with and practice together, so that you'll be ready by the time we perform. And mm-hmm. then you will get your t-shirt closer to the date of the event. Your team leader will give you the t-shirt, and on the day of the event, we go out and we dance in pre-designated locations with permits in advance. A lot of people think that flash mobs are kind of, you just show up and do it. You don't. Yeah. Because if you do that, you can get in trouble. So it's all pre-planned. There's a lot of pre-planning that goes behind a flash mob.
Mm.
So that's how it works. And then a portion of every registration goes back to the shelter that that location has selected. So that's how we've been doing it. And now we have added the element of information where each participant has information on them, like brochures that they can give out if anybody has questions as well.
Oh, that's amazing. So what locations are you in right now?
Oh my goodness. We have 173 locations so far. We have registrations are open until the end of March, and each city team leader is a volunteer. So until the end of March, I don't know what our total will be. I know we have hit 173 locations as of yesterday. Whoa. I haven't checked today, but we have 173 around the world. And
that is quite an accomplishment.
It is.
That's amazing.
Thank you. It is a lot of work, but you know, and it can be draining, but at the same time, it is so rewarding when you hear how many people we've helped. Mm-hmm. And that's really what keeps me going, is just knowing that we've saved people, or I wouldn't be doing it, because it can be draining. It can be really heavy sometimes.
Yes. Wow. What a movement. Yeah. That is a movement.
It is a movement. We call it our new tagline. It used to be, "Let the movement begin," and now our new tagline is "Creating change one shimmy at a time."
Oh, that's great. I love that.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay. So now, well, before I go into the speed round, is there anything else you'd like to share with what you're doing now? And how people can connect with you?
Well, they can connect with me through my website, through francescaanastasi.com or through shimmymob.com. One thing, because it is part of what I do, I would just like to encourage everyone to set healthy boundaries, regardless of who you're with. It doesn't have to be necessarily with your partner. It can be a sibling. It can be a boss. It can be a coworker. Yeah. Just, you know, like, you're worth more than that. So yeah, set healthy boundaries.
Wonderful. Yeah. Yes, that's good advice. It's sometimes harder to do than we think. We think, oh yeah, I've got boundaries in place, but then, you know, take a look. And if there's a relationship that's destructive or disturbing in your life, you know, your part is to set the boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's not always as simple as saying, "I'm setting my boundaries," because depending on who you're dealing with, things can be a bit more challenging. Yeah. You know, in that case, if you're in a situation where you don't know what to do, then seek counsel. If you are in a domestic, if you're in an abusive situation, you can call your local shelter, even if you don't need shelter. You can call and say, "Who can I talk to? Because I don't know how to deal with this." And they will direct you. So, and there are all over the world, like every nation, every country has a hotline that a person can call for support.
Oh, that's good to know. That's good to know. Well, yeah, we'll have your links on the show notes in the website, inspiringshow.com. So people can click through and connect with all those different links there if they want to. So we're going to go into the speed round. I'm going to ask you some fun questions. So Francesca, what do you do for fun? In addition to shimmy mobs, what do you do for fun?
What do I do for fun? You know, I do a lot of things for fun. It depends on the day. Primarily dance. That I would say that is my fun thing. Whether I do it professionally or not, it is me. It is who I am. I've always danced, and that's my fun space.
Nice.
Goofy dance, though. We're not talking about like formal dancing, like goofy dance, like super goofy. One of these days I'm going to do that on TikTok. I don't know. I'm not brave enough yet, but we will do it.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Okay. And then what is your favorite quote?
My favorite quote is Yoda's quote, "Do or do." Like there's no try. Like just do it, right? Like to me, that is, that's my favorite quote.
Do or do not.
Yes. Do or do not.
There's no try.
There is no try. The thing is, I kind of butcher it because I have my own version of that quote, is "do or do, there is no die." That's kind of how I have rephrased that, because I give myself no option. Just do it. Or you do it or you do it.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. That's great. Who has inspired you the most through your journey?
I cannot say that there's one specific person. I think there are multiple people. I would say anyone who has had a challenge and has come out on the other end positively and has helped others because of what's happened to them. Any person who's gone through that, they are the person that inspires me. It's not just one specific person.
Mm. Yeah. Good. What is your favorite book?
My favorite book.
It's helped you in your personal life or business.
Yes. And it's one book that's helped me on both. And that would be Eat That Frog by Brian Tracy. I don't know. Have you read it?
Oh, which one is it? Sorry, I missed that.
Eat the Frog.
Oh, Eat the Frog.
Eat the Frog. Yeah. Eat the Frog. Eat the Frog first. But Brian Tracy. Yeah.
Sort of a time management sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But
yes, because that applies both in life and business. So
mm-hmm. What's a really good tool or resource you'd recommend?
Well, I guess it all depends on what you need. For me, a calendar is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Just a digital calendar that synchronizes with all your devices. I think that is the best thing. Because it just helps you stay on track on top of everything. So that would be one. I know it's very basic and it's free and it's accessible to everyone. Mm-hmm. So whether you're in business or not.
I'm always surprised when I run into someone who doesn't have any kind of calendar.
Really?
Like how are you managing in life?
Yeah, no, I need to have a calendar. Yeah.
Me too. I'm stuck to it every hour. All right. Well, if you want to connect with Francesca, you can connect through the show notes in inspiringshow.com. And we just really appreciate you being here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Isn't she inspiring? I just adore her. Remember to visit the show notes to get all the links for Francesca. And also tap into our new guide, Grow Your Business as a Guest Expert. Paul and I have landed lots of speaking gigs and spoken at many places over the years. And I have planned and produced over 500 events. And for many of those, I've had to recruit speakers. And so it's not just speaking for live in-person events, but speaking for podcasts and interviews and online summits and things like that. So take a look at our guide. I put all of my tips and strategies in there. Visit our website and you can download that today at inspiredinfluencers.com. That's inspiredinfluencers.com. And you can also get all the show notes there as well. All right, until next time, everyone, remember, you have a story and your story matters.